We're going to start off, as we usually do, with our memory verse. And we're going to look on the screen, say the scripture reference, and then the verse together. Is there anybody that got up in the cold today and had to warm up their cars? No. Everybody must have a garage. Okay, well, we do too, but we can't fit the cars in. We'll get there, Stace. We'll get there. So here's our verse in Galatians, and we'll say it again together. Galatians 3, 24 through 25. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Galatians 3, 24 through 25. Well, I want to start off a little bit talking about King David. That's why we're reading Psalm 5. And if you want to check that out and look it up, we'll be talking about it for a minute. But here is King David. This was a guy, as you know, he searched the heart of God. He really wanted to know God, be close to God. And the thing is he had people after him all the time. There were times of great prosperity during his reign, as we well know. And, of course, there were some down times. One time he had to run away and go into hiding. There was some war and different things happening on in his life. But through all of it, you know, he had these enemies, people that would try to mess with the kingdom and take over the kingdom. And sometimes those enemies would attack or try to attack with swords and everything that they could do that was bloody, right? And other times he was attacked verbally. Fortunately, King David had faith in the eternal God, in his eternal God, who was and is a jealous God. And we're going to get into that in just a little, just a minute. So if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 5. Judy read that for us this morning. And you know, King David at this time had so much on his mind. He kept, and even before that, he kept a pretty cool journal, and it's the book, partially the book of Psalms, Psalm that he wrote for us, and this is where we learn about his heart and how he thinks, and not just how he thinks, not just the knowledge that he has as a king, but how his heart hurts and loves and gives and aches for the people and then aches for God. Now, if you want to leave your life story or how you feel about life or your family or household and especially God that you serve, I would suggest that you start writing your own journal. You start writing your own psalms and prayers to God. Talk to God. Talk to your family. Writing down your own psalms and your own prayers. But reading King David's psalms, and after journaling myself for years, I've been doing it for years, I got to thinking while I was studying this Psalm 5, I thought, man, I wish my mom and dad would have left a journal. And just, you know, take the time once a week, once a month, and just sit down, open it up, and write things about life. And how you feel about God, how you feel about the weather, how you hate the cold, whatever it is, you write those things down so that your family can later read it. Well, you see, we're part of God's family. We're part of King David's family, really. And he has left something for us to read about his life and his God. If you are at Psalm 5, take a look at how David starts off in his prayer to God. He says, listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. Now, if you truly call upon God, I believe God is going to answer not only because he loves you, but because he is a jealous God. King David was seeking God because his enemies were after him at this time. We don't know exactly what. We don't know the exact situation. A lot of what he was experiencing was verbal abuse through lies and all those sorts of things. And I think we all know that lives can be destroyed very quickly through lies. And unfortunately, we live in an age when those lies are readily believed and broadcast throughout the world in a matter of seconds. In 2 seconds, a lie can go around the world and hurt somebody's life. That's amazing. Took a little bit longer for King David. Didn't have the internet and all that crazy weird stuff. It takes that short of time. Now, King David knows he is a sinner, but he also knows that God forgives. And so he says in verse 7, and I'm going to paraphrase this here a little bit, so I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here, just paraphrase it. He says, Lord, because of your great love, I can come into your house where in reverence I humble myself before the temple and lament and seek your help. Towards the end of the psalm, David writes, let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. So I want to ask you guys a question. I ask myself this question. Have you taken refuge in God? Have you sought out refuge with God? It means being safe or sheltered while being pursued or in danger or in trouble, taking refuge. And that protection King David sought, and we seek, the Bible tells us or tells King David, all of us through King David, that that protection is spread over us. And when it is God's protection, we can rejoice. David takes it a bit further and he says in verse 12, and again, I'm gonna paraphrase it. You can read it word for word there. It says, Lord, surely those who follow you look to you and serve you. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Three biblical characters come to mind who were surrounded by favor. When you read that, when you hear that word favor, can anybody shout out a couple of names? Well, there's three that I came up with, but there's more. Does anybody remember any famous biblical characters where favor surrounded them? Mary, mother of Jesus. Anybody else? Abraham, Noah, those were the first three I thought of. And there's more, I know, that had the favor of God. How cool is that? They had this shield of favor around them, and God used them in a mighty way. So we know that as we seek refuge in God, His protection is over us. We're surrounded with His favor, which acts like a shield. So picture for a moment Captain America. You all know Captain America, right? He's got that funky red and white suit on and stuff like that. There he is, and he's got that shield. And he holds that shield in front of him. Keeps the arrows, the bullets, the bombs, everything that's coming his way. All the weapons that are thrown at him cannot penetrate that shield and get to him and harm him. Or better yet, for some of you maybe old-time Star Trek fans, maybe not. I like the old Star Trek with Captain Kirk. But Captain Kirk, when they're fighting in battle, he says, shields up. And that's this force field, this shield that goes around the whole entire ship. And the occupants are kept safe. God's field of favor wraps around you as you seek Him. And I think that's pretty cool. But I would argue that God's shield of favor surrounds us because He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. Look, if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Nahum, or you may want to write it down in your notes. Nahum chapter 1, just for a moment. Nahum was a prophet who had to pour out some prophecies on this place called Nineveh. You all know some of the story of Nineveh, which had been plotting for ways or plotting against God's ways. And when you read that story, you can see the United States of America in there. And some of the problems that we're having, we're kind of the Nineveh. Or what we're studying on Wednesday night is, you know, the United States maybe being the new Babylon. A country or whatever that goes against God, that plots against God. But still, Nahum says in verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble, And he cares for those who trust in him. And so if we're living in that kind of country or that kind of place, the Lord is our refuge. And guess what happens when we seek refuge in him? The shield of favor goes around us. But it continues on. It says, with an overwhelming flood, God will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into the realm of darkness. Now, if you back up in Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, says, the Lord is jealous, a jealous and avenging God. A jealous and avenging God. I would encourage you when you get home to go ahead and Google jealous in Scripture and see how many times that pops up, and then how that relates to God, and how many times it talks about God being jealous. If God is jealous, a jealous God, it means as God, he has feelings. He's not some mastermind who created the universe and kicks back and relaxes and watches. He's involved. He's involved in our lives. And of course, his desire is that we seek refuge in him, that we find favor in him. He wants to shield us with his favor. So, what is God jealous of? If God is jealous, what is he jealous of? Well, you know, I'm still working on some of that. I mean, how can we describe this jealousy? Because, you know, when we think of jealousy, we think of something totally negative, don't we? We're so jealous we come possessive. We got to have it. We'll fight. We'll kill. We'll do whatever that we can have. We equate jealousy with envy and bitterness and violence and rage and contempt. And jealousy can even lead to war. Do you guys remember this old song, One Tin Soldier Rides Away? Who remembers that song? Whoop, we got a couple up here and maybe a couple back here. One tin soldier. It's a great story about two kingdoms. One up at the mountain, one down here. And the folks down here thought these guys on the mountain had this great treasure, and they did. They had this great treasure. And so they said, hey, give us the treasure. They said, come on up, we'll share it. No, give us the treasure. And so this song goes on. Finally, they attack. And one tin soldier is left up top. And they dug into their cave where the treasure was, and there was like this big granite stone that said, peace on earth. One tin soldier. God, and I got to tell you, jealousy can do those kinds of things. The more we look into the God we serve, the more we can see from the beginning until today, our Heavenly Father's jealousy comes out of love for his creation. So I want you to bear with me just a few moments. We're going to look at God's jealousy for a moment. And I'm not claiming I have all the answers here. I certainly don't. But I love studying it. First is this, if you want to jot it down. I think we can safely say that God is jealous of our love, of our love. So think about it. Did he choose you? Did he create you? Did he know you before you were born? Did he not give you the right to choose him over another? Or choose another over him? Well, how do you think he would feel then if we choose not him, but we choose falsehood, or we choose evil, we choose Satan, or we choose another god? Wealth, material, whatever it is. So he, your creator, loved and loved us so much. We know that story, don't we? That he bought you with his blood. I mean, he sent his son. He would sooner die than that you should die and live in hell. Right? And he did die. And he rose again. Now, I believe it hurts God when people choose the world over him. Some people still think God just doesn't have feelings. I happen to think and believe that he does. It runs throughout Scripture. I believe it hurts God that something stands between you and Him at times. And could it be that God is jealous that you love the other side other than He who gave you life? I'm still working on this, but I think God is also jealous of our trust. Imagine if King David trusted in other gods. How might Almighty God react to that? How does he kind of react to that today? Or as some would think, again, maybe God doesn't care, you know, and he's just up there singing, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I've already sent my son. He died. He rose again. Whatever anybody decides, that's okay with me. God doesn't want us to trust in our flesh, does he? And so when he sees us or anyone else, I think, walking away from the river of life, the light, the lamp of life, who is his son, Jesus Christ, who is God, I don't know, but I happen to think he grieves. And he groans, ugh, man. Like King David, when we seek refuge in him, when we trust in God, I think God's glad. It makes his day. I know he doesn't have time, but he doesn't live in a time realm like us, but it makes his day, however long that day is going to be. But when we transfer our allegiance to another, when we transfer our allegiance to the world or the things of Satan, or when we will rely on our own wisdom and our own knowledge or our friends or even our own works, I think God is displeased. And then we are left to our own, that big word, degradation. Can we see it in our own country today? Consequences that are not good. And God, I think, allows this because it's not only our choice, but those consequences, because of our choices, those consequences many times lead us straight back to Him. Straight back. God wants you trusting in Him alone and no one else. He's jealous of our love and our trust. And think about this one. This is the last one. Third one. I think God is jealous of our company. That sounds strange. Jealous of our company. In other words, the person he wants us to communicate and walk with is him. God. God wants us to walk with him. You know the song, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. How often do you converse with Jesus? How often do you walk and talk with God? The world has lots of temptations, and of course our sinful inclinations are to walk with the world, to walk with something else, to be in tune with the world instead of in tune with God, that rather we should turn to Jesus. And I think when we don't, this grieves God. We talk about this on Wednesday nights, and I'm sure Pastor Tim talks about it too when he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, many of the trials we go through are for the purpose of getting us off the carnal, fleshy stuff and fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing them on the eternal things, those things that are pure and holy, which Philippians talks about. Little book I read. I'm not quite finished, but it's really a fun book. You might want to jot it down. It's very short. You can read it in about an hour and a half, really. But I like to write and draw and all sorts of things when I read. But it's called The Positive Dog. Sounds strange, but it's fun. It's about two dogs talking together in the kennel while they're waiting to maybe be adopted. And one of the dogs tells his buddy, He says, you know, every day, here's what I do. I take a thank you walk. And he says, the best time to do that, take that walk, is in the morning, because it sets your day off right. And on this walk, when you're out walking every morning, you thank your Savior for everything that you can think of. It's the first thing you do in the day. It's not a time of asking God for something. It's not even a time of seeking refuge. It's a time just to say thanks. Whatever pops in your mind, thank you. Family, friends, the sidewalk I'm walking on, the tree I'm standing next to in a little bit. I wonder how this church might look if, when all of us woke up each morning, we began by thanking God for how awesome He is, how richly He has blessed us. Now, you know what I see? If churches start doing this, communities start doing this, drama goes way down. Love starts going way up. Not just at church, your family, your marriage, your school life, whatever it is. But folks, it starts with those of us who believe. It really does. It's not going to start anywhere else. It starts with people who believe in God. And as far as seeking refuge and being surrounded by the shield of God's favor, just the fact that you're getting up and walking with God and thanking Him places you in that refuge. You haven't even asked for it, but it places you there, and you're surrounded by His favor and His protection. So God is jealous of your love. He's jealous of your trust. He's jealous of your company. He wants to be with you all the time. And surely, as King David writes, he wrote in that psalm, "The Lord will bless the righteous and surround them with His favor as a shield." Would you join me in a word of prayer? You know, as we get ready to sing our closing song this morning, maybe today is the day for you to completely give your life over to Jesus Christ. And maybe you already have, and you need to kind of seek some more reflection on that and say, okay, I've kind of been walking away. But Lord, I want to walk with You. I seek refuge in You. You have to know that He's the way, the truth, and the life. He does want to walk with you. He wants to walk with everyone in here. And then while we walk with Him, He wants us to go out and get other people to walk with Him. I mean, it is right there with Him where we are going to find that forgiveness and the life, the eternal life. And of course, that begins the very second you say yes. You say yes to Him. And so listen, after the end of the service, after we sing this closing song together and after we have some announcements and stuff, Pastor Tim and I would like to pray with you. In fact, as we sing that closing hymn, verse, if you want to come forward during that time, that'd be fine too. But maybe it's not salvation you're seeking right now, or you already are saved, but you're hurting in some way. You have some pain or some sorrow, something going on in your life that you need prayer for. We don't even have to know what it is, but if you want to pray, we'll be up here and we'll pray with you. That's what we love to do. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll open all our hearts and our minds as we sing glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray.